All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Yes, it is.
I recognize this song.
It's too darn hot again.
It is ridiculously hot inside
on
this
Big
studio.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 63.
63.
Too darn hot again.
Again.
We have to do our annual too darn hot
episode.
Yeah, they haven't turned on the air conditioning in the studio yet. That episode.
They're a bunch of rat bastards, is what I say.
It's so hot in here, in fact, that Mr. Fantastic, not present this evening.
Yeah,
He couldn't take the heat, got out of the kitchen.
He bailed. Rat bastard.
Well, what do you want? He's a young, pale man.
I don't know. He's failing us.
He's sickly, is
yeah,
what it
well,
is.
Well, you know.
We have to look out for him.
I don't know. He's a rat bastard. That's what I think. He bailed before we even started recording today.
Hey, he was in here for 3 seconds, and I can't take it.
Yeah, he showed up a little earlier this afternoon. You know, we start getting ready early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He put up the new episode.
Partly.
Put up some of the links. Threw his hands in the air. Said, screw you guys, I'm going home. And that was it. He left it to me. I had to write the description this week.
Whoa.
Well. I can't promise anything. So if the description for episode 62, not so hot, not my fault. Blame Fantastic.
It's easy to blame him when he's not here, isn't it?
It is easy to blame him.
Kind of like it's easy to blame me when I'm not around.
Also very easy to do.
Yes, I noticed.
Bet you can't wait till I'm not around, huh?
I would never say any such thing. I would not take advantage of your absence to make fun of you.
Well, that's swell of you.
However, Fantastic.
He might do something.
I will, however, take the advantage to make fun of him.
So. Cannot trust that boy.
What is in the news? We have an action-packed show today.
We do. We have a lot going on tonight.
We have two, count them, two special guests.
That's the rumor, at least.
Well,
one very tragic.
But all.
One very exciting, so.
Tragic?
Well, the incident surrounding why he's in the studio,
yes,
very
course,
tragic.
Of course.
I mean, not tragic that he's going to be in the studio, but.
That would be weird.
The incident surrounding his appearance, very tragic.
And one I'm very excited about.
Yeah, very excited.
Very. What do you got there?
Well, I actually have a quick update on something we talked about. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, actually. I think it was episode 61. We talked about that exclusive R2KT astromech droid. That is the little pink.
The pink one.
Right. One of our listeners kind of shot me a quick email on a little bit of history about that droid.
Which listener is this?
This would actually be a new regular contributor for news. It's Leo from New Jersey.
Leo from New Jersey?
Yeah. R2KT was created in 2005 by a gentleman by the name of Jerry Green. And it was meant as, or it was meant in honor of a brave little girl by the name of Katie Johnson who had brain cancer. And so all the money from the sales of the figure go to this fund that they set up. And the figure actually kind of goes around, goes on tours and tries to promote awareness for cancer in children and pediatric cancer
right.
in general. And there's a great little website. You could check it out, r2kt.com. I don't want to go too much into it, but I think the listeners definitely should check it out. Definitely is a product that I would think you should support out there. And I thought that was a nice little update to that story. So.
Wow, that is nice.
Anything else? Nothing? You're just leaving it all on me?
And that was episode 63.
It's the heat. It's getting to me.
Oh, my goodness.
My glasses are actually moist at this point. My hair, it's just sweat running down my brow.
Hair?
Yeah, well, what's left of it? So, Sam Raimi giving a little bit of a chatter about Spider-Man 4, whether or not he will or will not be involved. Of course, I think he kind of wants to be involved, but maybe not.
Spider-Man versus Smog?
Actually, no. His thought, or something he said he'd like to see, would be the original Sinister Six. So that would include Vulture, Electro, Kraven, Mysterio, Sandman, and Doc Ock as the villain choice for a fourth film.
I just can't even imagine it.
Well, you know what?
Doc Ock, we presume, is dead.
Right, but, you know, again, Sandman, it's a comic book movie.
You know, he let go, so.
Right.
And then, so we're going to have just three new guys?
Well, no.
Or four?
Well, four new guys, but I'm guessing we'll see the other two make some sort of reappearance. Would be the thought process behind it.
Bad idea.
It's a bad idea, but, I mean, that's what Sam Raimi is saying, so I don't know if I believe it or not.
That's exactly why it will never happen.
Well, probably, at least not with Sam at the helm. Perhaps Marvel Studios will move on with somebody else.
Hey, maybe they could get the winner that did X-Men 3.
Ooh, Brett Ratner.
Yeah, Brett Ratner.
Exciting. Very exciting. Ugh. Speaking of which.
Vomit.
Have you heard the latest casting addition to the Iron Man film?
Oh, no. What?
You haven't? Oh.
What does that have to do with Brett Ratner, first off?
I was moving on to the next story.
Well, you scared the crap out of me because I thought there had been some change and Brett Ratner was now helming Iron Man.
No.
To which I would have vomited violently.
No. But they have cast Samuel Jackson in the role of Nick Fury.
Now, see, right. Now, this makes total sense because the ultimate Nick Fury is based on Sam Jackson. It's Sam
based
Jackson.
On him. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's really actually kind of awesome.
And Sam Jackson has previously come out and said that if they presented him with the role or they asked him to do the role, it would be something he would be very interested in. So it does seem to be a good fit in with the cast. So I'm actually pretty excited about that. I like Mr. Jackson.
Did you see that fantastic picture of the cast?
I did see that picture
in,
of the cast.
Entertainment Weekly?
I did. The four of them.
Yeah, it does look kind of cool, doesn't it?
You know what? It's
It's growing. It's like slowly growing. We have till May next year to wait.
I think the reason that it doesn't look cool at all is because really it's just four people in business attire. I mean,
I like it.
It's Tony Stark in business attire. It's
Obadiah Stane.
Yeah, and Rhodey in business attire.
Well, he's in a military uniform.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like there's nothing like that jumps off the page. It's no iron armor. It's no special effects.
Yeah.
It's very kind of played down and classic, but I think it is a good place to start for character development. I think it's a good way to show those characters for a first shot together.
Yeah, I think I think that movie is really coming along.
I would agree wholeheartedly.
And speaking of movies that are coming along...
All right.
Hell of a segue.
Wow, you're Segu master.
It looks as though the Magneto movie has been greenlit.
Ooh, the lolly.
David Goyer, the director of The Invisible and Blade Trinity, will be helming the X-Men spinoff featuring Magneto.
Now, I am excited about that.
Well, don't get too crazy yet.
Well, I like the Blade trilogy.
But it's... No, it's Blade Trinity. It's
Blade Trinity. Yeah, anyway. Right. He didn't direct the first two.
No.
But I like
Guillermo
Trinity.
Did the second one.
Yeah, I know.
This will follow a young Magneto.
Which we knew.
As he tries to survive Auschwitz during World War II.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense.
And he then uses his powers to hunt down the Nazi war criminals who killed his parents.
Well, you know, it makes sense. Because it will tie in very nicely to the first X-Men film, which the opening shot of that film is Magneto screaming. Well, it's young Eric screaming and crying as he's being separated from his parents in the camp in Auschwitz. So that makes sense. I think that's a good place to start with the character. No,
I agree.
How about Where the Wild Things Are? Directed by Spike Jonze.
Oh, really?
Have you seen the first shot?
I did see a picture. Interesting.
It's on that MTV blog, and it's popped up in a couple other places online.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited about that. I really like Where the Wild Things Are, the story.
Right.
I really like the figures that McFarlane put out all those years ago.
Oh, that's like 1,000 years
ago. I know. But that opening shot of Max the Goat Boy dancing around in the circle, that very famous scene.
Yeah.
That's an I mean, I don't know. I think it could be really good. I think it's a good story that would translate well, probably, and
yeah, I think
we'll have
to
follow it a little bit closer.
I think it has great potential. We are taking time each week to discuss what the big companies are doing for San Diego Comic-Con this year.
We are.
You and I are both attending for the first time.
Very, very true.
Today's feature company is Mezco.
Well, together for the first time, you should say, perhaps.
Together for the first time. Well, yeah. You've never been there.
No, I've never been there before.
I've been there a bunch.
A ton. You've reported live from there last year.
I have. Mezco will, in fact, be coming to Comic-Con with 5 different exclusives.
Wow. Go Mezco. They're overachievers.
They are, and rightfully so. They're doing great work, great products. We always, always love seeing new things from Mezco.
Sure.
They have some of our favorite lines in there. The South Park line, of course.
Sure.
Family Guy. They got some great ones coming up with the Goonies.
Yep. I'm very excited about
that. And then, of course, those are all licenses. They have a lot of original stuff. That's great as well.
That Dark Carnival series.
Yeah.
The Living Dolls, which is hugely popular. The Mezzets.
And those sort of things.
Tiki Mom.
Well, let's talk about... Did they ever do Tiki Mom?
I don't know if it ever came out.
I don't
remember.
That was good, man.
We've been seeing that for like 4 years.
They did those other ones too, the Voodoo plush
dolls. Those came out.
Those were great.
Voodoos, I think they were called.
All right, so let's talk about their San Diego exclusives. First off is the comic book version of Abe Sapien from Hellboy. As you know, Mezco has the license to do Hellboy, I guess the Hellboy movies and the comic book versions.
Right.
Recently as last week, we discussed the animated figure that had been done by...
Gentle Giant?
Yes.
As a one-off for the Blood and Iron release.
Well, this is the comic book version of Abe Sapien. He's limited to 3,000 pieces. That's a real limited number here. He comes with a removable BPRD, the Bureau for Paranormal Research and
Defense,
and a removable vest and a spear. He's fully articulated, of course.
Of course.
And you're going to want this guy for your comic collection. It's kind of surprising that they hadn't done him until now, but now they're doing him, so that's good.
Abe Sapien, my favorite Hellboy character, so I'm particularly jazzed about this.
And you'll be able to get him this time.
I will.
Because you'll be there. Only available at the San Diego Comic-Con Mezco booth.
Correct, sir.
Let's move on. Living Dead dolls that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. A huge, huge line for Mezco. Living Dead dolls, kind of these creepy little doll-looking things.
That are dead and brought back to life.
Exactly. They're going to be doing some repaints or reissues or whatever you're calling it of 4 characters that have been laid to rest.
Okay.
Laid to rest, of course, is when they Mezco's way of saying that when they've retired one of these characters and they're no longer producing, they've been laid to rest. It's very clever. These 10-inch dolls, 4 of them for the con. Include Posey,
mm-hmm.
Kitty,
mm-hmm.
Lottie, and Sybil.
And Sybil, yeah.
And okay. There's 400 of these.
And these are available only as a set. Is that correct?
Only as a set of 4 and only 400 sets being made.
It's going to be a hot commodity.
I think that's going to be a hot one.
I think that's going to go pretty quick. I wonder how they're going to allocate it out over the weekend.
I don't know.
Or over the week.
100 a day.
Thursday, Friday.
I mean,
Saturday,
if they don't
Sunday.
Do anything on preview night,
right.
which is Wednesday, of course, then it would be 100 Thursday, 100 Friday, 100 Saturday, 100 Sunday.
Hmm.
I mean, theoretically, that's the
yeah. That probably makes sense.
These are very collectible. There's a lot of people collecting these.
That's
things.
A huge license for them.
Yeah.
Or product for them. I guess it's not really a licensed product.
No, but it's a huge product.
Yes, it is
them, certainly. All right, let's move on with Mezco. Has a few more here. Of course, one of the ones we are absolutely and completely looking forward to is the Goonies Copper Bones.
Ooh.
One one scale replica of the skull key from the movie The Goonies.
Right.
It's made of some sort of
it's like poly, a resin. Poly resin or something like that.
Right, and it's weighted to feel like copper.
Right.
Has a leather strap. It's a one-to-one replica. Yeah. And they, of course, have the Goonies license. They're going to be doing more of these things.
And if you've seen pictures of this thing, it really looks like it just came out of the film. I mean, looks awesome.
Fantastic. What a great kind of opening to their Goonies action figures.
I think that's really what it is. It's really a way to kickstart that line and that
right.
that license, which we should see later this year, I would think.
Yep. Also coming from Mezco, the Underdog 2-pack.
Ooh.
Featuring Underdog and his nemesis, Simon Bar Sinister.
Of course.
From the fan favorite episode, Phony Boots.
Right.
Features Simon Bar Sinister's lab display, his mind control remote.
Right.
And these characters are specific to this particular episode, and they'll only be available at San Diego. 600 is the number on that. Only 600 of those sets available.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And, of course, how could we possibly close without saying the one we're looking the most forward to, I have to say. Well, I won't speak for you, Matt. I'll say I'm looking the most forward to this one. Butters as Professor Chaos.
I think really, overall, I am probably looking most forward to this one. Although I do have one small problem with the figure.
Okay. I know exactly what you're going to say, but let me finish the description first. From South Park, the character Butters, his alter ego, the would-be world conqueror Professor Chaos.
Right.
Comes with two hamster minions, his presentation board, that he can present all his evil plans on. And he's going to be limited to only 2,000 pieces.
Right.
2,000 pieces only. And will not be made available outside of San Diego. And it's very exciting. And now you can say what I'm sure we're both thinking right now at this moment.
Mez, why two hamsters?
Why not General Disarray?
Why not General Disarray?
Why not General Disarray, sir? Why
As
not General Disarray?
As a small accessory, you know, it would be perfect. You know, you don't have to give him any articulation. Just make him kind of tiny, hands at his side, and the little General Disarray get up.
Yeah.
And it would be perfect.
Perfect.
It would be perfect. I mean, maybe he's planning on releasing a General Disarray figure at some point in the future as part of the regular line.
I don't know.
But I couldn't imagine that. It seems like that might even be too far of an obscure character for the regular line.
This is the perfect forum to
put that figure out there on the market. Well, and as a set would have been awesome.
Mez, what we'll say to you is this. We understand. I'm sure there's limitations as to what they can do and so on and so forth. What about like a Mez exclusive? No packaging. You just put them in a little baggie.
Yeah, really?
Mail them out.
You can wrap them in a paper towel with some scotch tape and a stamp, and I'll be happy.
General Disarray, sir. So that's what Mezco has coming to San Diego this year. You can go over to Mezco.com,
I believe.
No, I don't think so. I think it's .net.
Oh, is it? Oh, it is. I believe you're right. It is .net.
Well, you can Google Mezco, M-E-Z-C-O, and you can check out all the fine products that come from Mezco. And if you're going to San Diego, stop by the booth and check out these awesome exclusives.
Yes, indeedy.
Very, very exciting.
Couple more things on the movie front before I move on to what I have next.
Okay.
Got a couple of images that we just want to, I think, throw out there real quick. The first, which is probably the least exciting, would be the Hulk teaser poster that is out there.
Sigh.
Yeah, it's really nondescript. I mean, it's a shadow of a Hulk. You know, you see no description. You see no features. I guess they don't want to blow the wad, so to speak, and give everything away too soon, especially with so many other projects coming out before then. But I guess at least it's nice to know that they are working on some promotion for the film. So that's probably the least exciting. The second one is an image that appeared online that was promptly pulled down. It was online, I think, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, I want to say. And I believe Warner asked for it to be removed from the websites that it has appeared on, but it has popped up and surfaced again, which I'm glad because I didn't get to see it the first time. That would be what they're calling the Joker Mobile from the next Batman film.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I don't know, it's all purple. And it's kind of like a it's like an old jalopy kind of car.
Jalopy.
Well, right, isn't that what it is? It's kind of like an old jalopy type of car. I mean, nothing stands out about it as spectacular or huge.
Right.
It kind of has that old mafiosa, you know, getaway car
right.
kind of feel to it.
Uh-huh.
Which, who knows, maybe that's where it comes into play. We know that at least one scene in the film involves the Joker robbing a bank with his henchmen, because we've seen that image online already. So maybe that's where it comes into play. But again, not too exciting, but nice to see. The other thing, or the last image, I should say, would be the first shot of Harrison Ford back in the classic fedora.
In the saddle, as they
and,
say.
Yeah, an Indiana Jones outfit. Now, for those of you that don't know, principal photography on the film began on June 18th. So a mere week ago, I guess, at this point, or barely
couple.
A week ago. So yeah, it's exciting. You know, he does certainly look old because, well, Harrison Ford is old. But there it is. He's there. So
if you're checking out the show right now on your iPod, or you're over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff looking at the pictures, you can see that picture that we're talking about right now, and there he is. That's actually a very comforting image. I'm glad it looks like, you know, we can finally quell the rumors. There is actually an Indy 4.
Yeah, it is actually happening. It's, you know, he didn't just get in the suit because he was going to a weekend barbecue, you know?
It was a costume party, and he wanted to be Indiana Jones at the costume party.
That's exactly. He was getting ready for the latest Street Corner Con appearance.
Old Deanna Jones.
Yeah, exactly. So,
can you imagine Harrison Ford at a con? Nope. You know why?
He'll never do it.
Never happen.
Well, you know what? As much as I'd like to say it'll never happen, there is a small, distinct possibility that he will appear at something like San Diego next year. I could see closer to the release of the film.
Well, it'll be
but
it's coming out before San Diego. So if he was going to appear,
is it slated to come out before San Diego?
I think so, yeah. So it would maybe, be this year.
Maybe he'd make an appearance at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, maybe. No,
I don't know. It's getting to be a pretty big show.
Well,
they're holding
true.
It in April. It's
true.
Doubling from this year. I don't know.
In April, really?
Yeah, they pushed it back a couple months.
Wow, we get that long gap after Toy Fair.
Yeah, man.
Oof.
That's good. It gives us a little bit of a break, a reprieve,
a
if you will.
Lot of coverage. Significant comic book milestone today. X-Men has reached issue 200.
Wow.
Now, this is not the uncanny X-Men.
No, that's way
just
past 200.
Regular old X-Men.
Oh, I remember when number one came out.
Yeah,
all them
remember,
years ago.
And it's 400.
Jim Lee.
It's 400 covers.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was. Well, not to be outdone.
Of course.
Because this certainly isn't the glut of the 80s anymore. It's the glut of the 2000s now. Thank you, Joe Quesada. X-Men 200 comes with, count them, 3 different covers.
Excellent.
Looks like one is by Umberto Ramos.
Ooh. I like his art style a lot, actually.
Yeah, which actually features Gambit, several other characters on it. They're rap
sweet,
covers,
of
right?
Of course.
The second cover, I think, is by Chris Bachalo.
Really?
Yes.
That's very exciting.
And, of course, both artists worked on the inner pages of the book.
Wow.
So that is very exciting for those of you old-school X-Men fans. Bachalo, that stuff is top-notch.
That is top-notch. Now, is the third cover by, because I'm thinking of random, old, possibly obscure X-Men artists, is it by Madureira?
You mean Madureira?
However you want to pronounce it?
No.
Age of Apocalypse guy?
No, it isn't. It's actually by a really tremendous artist that we talked about last week.
Who would that be?
By the name of David Finch.
Ooh, yes. Very excited about David Finch's work in everything, pretty much.
And not only is it a cover that wraps around, it actually folds out into 4 full panels.
Now, that's just that one that folds out into 4
yep,
full panels?
That's it. Just the David Finch cover folds out into 4 full panels.
Do they charge you a dollar more for that cover?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Is that like an exclusive?
No, it's a regular.
Regular price?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what the pack out was or anything, if there was ratios to these covers or not. I don't remember. There are, of course, plenty of exciting things inside. Also, one of the things in included amongst the pinups, and apparently this is the kickoff to the endangered species storyline.
Woohoo!
Oodalali. And the cover that we mentioned by David Finch, it folds out into four
panels.
Panels, thank you. Too darn hot. Features
way too darn hot.
57 characters on it. And I know this because inside there is a character guide to the David Finch cover. Tells you and identifies okay. where each character is. So that's very exciting.
Very. Well, like I said, David Finch, his art style is really tremendous, and it's good to see him associated with all these projects and one-offs. I mean,
can't lie to you.
What?
Liking to have Bacciallo and Ramos on it also.
You know, I really love Ramos, and he's a great guy. I've met him in person a couple times at a few different shows. But really, Bacciallo, that one really makes me excited. I really love his artwork.
Yes.
I mean, it really is top notch, and I miss not seeing it regularly. You know, I've been a little disassociated with a lot of books, so I don't know what he's working on, if anything, but that's a shame. But I'm glad to see it here, and I might actually pick up that issue just to have his work. So in a little bit of TV news, we've got some chatter about next season's 24 and who the president will be.
Okay.
One of the things that frequently changes with 24, pretty much every season, I think with one exception, is who's the president.
Right.
The big rumor right now is that it's going to be a female president. So they've tackled the black president already several times. Why not tackle a female president? And to bring that rumor a little step further, they're actually saying that it might be a black female president.
Really?
Palmer's sister, I believe it's Sandra, is that? Sandra Palmer, yeah, who was featured pretty regularly in last season. They're saying that she might be the next presidential candidate. So we'll see. We'll have to see. I like that show, though, and I like that the president always changes. It's kind of nice to know that that's not static. Something
right.
about it is comforting. Hasbro and Cartoon Network are also developing an all-new animated anime style or new style anime style Transformers cartoon.
Oh boy.
Awful. That's
yeah.
all I have to
Looks
say.
Looks bad.
The images look terrible. Personally, the images look terrible. It's already an anime style show.
Do we have some of these?
An image?
Yeah.
I believe we do.
Oh,
we
good.
Have at least one.
In fact, you're probably looking at that image right now if you're watching us on QuickTime or on your iPod.
It looks like they're trying to dumb it down a little bit and make it a little too kiddie for me, which I really do have a pretty big problem with. The other thing that bothers me is that it looks like they're not going to be spending as much time fighting the Decepticons.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're going to be fighting the Decepticons on occasion. They're not, you know, completely removing them from the mixture, but they are going to be fighting evil humans in a superhero fashion more than they battle. So it's kind of like superpowered bad guys, which to me the entire concept behind the Transformers is Autobots and Decepticons. It's good and bad.
That.
It's robots. It's so
imagine
I
that.
I think the new cartoon, not a good idea. Very much scared about that. So.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, but it's inevitable. You know, they're going to put out a feature film, and then the next thing they have to try to put out a cartoon. It's happened with all of them.
Well, they said that they're definitely trying to ride the momentum of the feature film into the cartoon
sure.
series, which
sure.
does make sense. But I think that the feature film, whether or not you like it or not, or are going to like it or not if you haven't seen it, is... It clearly is not robots versus man. It's, I mean, at least from what it looks like, it's clearly, you know, Decepticons trying to take over the planet, but robots versus robots.
We'll finally be able to answer that age-old question, did we really need this fucking movie?
I say yes.
I
you say,
say jury's
no.
out.
Right.
I say probably not. I say an effects-driven movie in these days is not really... grounds for it being a good movie, because Twister had great effects And that movie blew chimps.
Well, so, I would certainly agree with you that effects does not a movie make. But I do think this is a little bit more than just effects. But we're going to have to see. It's preliminary at this point.
Okay.
Let's get on to a little bit of toy talk.
I miss Fantastic.
Shall we? I know it's...
I feel like no one's insulted me and...
Actually, you know what I miss? I miss looking over in the producer's chair and seeing him sleeping, showing complete disrespect for us. I miss that. Yeah. Come back, Fantastic. All right, let's talk about Shocker Toys. I know this has caused some controversy in the past, so we're not going to talk about them as a company, merely as a product line that they have coming out that they're developing.
Okay.
They are developing a series of action figures, three to be specific, based on the very popular sci-fi channel Who Wants to Be a Superhero?
Really?
Really. They are doing... The three finalists, the last three, Feedback, Major Victory, and Fat Mama.
Don't we know that kid, Feedback?
No, we knew Nitro.
Nitro.
We did an interview, or you did an interview with Nitro back at the National, in New York City last November, I guess that was.
I actually met Feedback and Fat Mama
at New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con.
Yeah, they were very pretty cool. They were very nice. So Shocker developing a line on those.
Okay. So hold our breath and see what happens there.
Yes. And a little bit of coming out soon in 2008 from Gentle Giant. Have you seen that Darth Maul statue?
Oh, the
The speeder or the whatever bike. It's called.
No, that
the
thing
bike.
Has a name now. Like it's Bloodfin or something, right?
The Bloodfin bike. That's it.
Is that what it's called? The Bloodfin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
That thing looks awesome.
Yeah, I was really thinking about it today. And it's funny that you mentioned that because it was solicited today in Diamond Previews, which is the way pretty much 100% of the comic book companies, comic book stores in the country order their books and toys and so on. And through this distributor, Diamond.
Right.
And I saw it solicited today, and I really was on the fence about wanting it or not. It's
okay.
$200 price tag.
But?
Which is good. Uh-huh. But it is a beautiful... That's really creative. You know
it
what
is,
I mean? What they did.
It is very creative.
Basically, you're probably seeing a picture of it right now. What they've done is it's Darth Maul. He's standing next to the bike. And the bike, as you know, doesn't really go on the ground. It kind of just floats, right? But the way they've accomplished this is I guess his cloak is sort of blowing in the wind into the bike. But, of course, it's not really blowing into the bike. It's actually connecting the bike to him. So it looks as if the bike is floating there. It's fantastic. It reminded me a lot of the speeder bike piece that they did with a speeder bike scout kind of leaning on the bike with just one sort of toe on the ground. And the whole thing was kind of
raised,
held up that way. Yeah, really. Gentle Giant is really banging stuff out in an awesome fashion.
Gentle Giant does a really, 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 really great statues. And their busts are amazing. And I don't think we give them enough credit on this show. Maybe we need to talk about them a little bit more in the future.
Right.
But I think one of the important things about their statues is they're very dynamic and they're very conceptual.
Yes.
And they look great.
Mm-hmm.
And this piece conceptually is just awesome. There's no way to describe it. That is a great image of that character. And it's refreshing to see that character not in some sort of unleashed, you know, dual lightsaber, like that hunched down blade behind him kind of. You know, it's very menacing, him just kind of standing there with the cloak blowing and him on the bike.
He's
and
got the electronoculars.
The little binoculars. It's pretty badass. That is really nice statue.
Yeah, I'm really on the fence about getting one myself or not.
Yeah, I really want that.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
You got connections.
I hope so. I try.
But, a stellar piece. Stellar piece
completely.
From Gentle Giant. You should go over to, I think it's gentlegiant.com, but if it's not, you can Google it. Check out all the stuff that Gentle Giant is doing over there. Actually, I think next week we're featuring Gentle Giant and what their exclusives are.
Oh, awesome.
I think.
Very cool.
I hope. So, They really are a great company. You're right. We don't give them enough credit around here, I guess.
So I have one more thing that I thought was going to be a lot bigger. And I actually, this is how this is coming up. I thought it was going to be a much bigger story than it has turned out to be. Okay. I guess it was about a week and a half ago, maybe at this point. A little news story started popping up all over the internet about the next Harry Potter book. Not about the film, about the book.
Okay.
That some guy had hacked the publisher's computer system, email system, and gotten the entire last chapter of the book and then posted it in his blog.
Okay.
And it spread a little. And then Scholastic kind of, I believe it's Scholastic, kind of shut it down. Said, well, we actually have two or three different endings in case something like this happened. And, you know, and we did that as a ploy so that no one knows what the actual real ending is until the book comes out, yada, yada, yada. And he really thought that this was going to spread like wildfire, and it just died. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good or bad that it just died. Is it?
Well, who just died?
The story just died. That's terrible. That's later. Shh.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't know either. That's why I said I'm kind of conflicted about it. I really thought it was going to be a lot bigger, and I thought, like, oh, I gotta watch certain radio shows that I listen to and watch certain news articles that I read because I don't want to be spoiled on it because I do read the books themselves. And
you want to watch those radio shows because
they've spoiled them in the past. That's all I'm saying. So,
how many radio shows do you watch?
How many do I watch? Other than ours? Yeah, I know. I watch. Very funny.
See, if Fantastic was here, he'd have jumped right on.
It's
on
the
that.
Heat. It's. I can't concentrate. I can't focus. My eyesight is blurry.
It's too darn
hot. I'm sweating into my own eyes. It stings.
If you would finish whatever your opinion is on this, we could get a drink.
I'm done. Fuck yes.
Oh, God. Another spot? I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right. Here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973? What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking URL. Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial.
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them. They're a sponsor of the show. You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated.
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures. Manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I gonna make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788. Or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba that's...
Hey guys, this is Brian O'Halloran from Clerks 2, Brutal Massacre, a whole bunch of films.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen, he's a geek. I'm a geek. I know this kind of stuff.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. You sound like an asshole.
And we're back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 63. It's too darn hot again. And with us in studio tonight, as you can tell by the music, is the one, the only, the Canadian superstar, the bad mother Canucker. How you doing, BAC? I notice you're wearing all black.
Yeah, I'm in mourning right now.
I know you are, sir.
Yes. It is a dark day in the world of wrestling.
Well, I mean, you know, Bad Mother Canucker, of course, our wrestling correspondent, and he's come in tonight to talk with us about the recent tragedy. I guess we'll talk about a couple of recent tragedies, but of course we have to talk about the one that's making national news. It's on the news now for days and days.
Yeah, I mean, we've been following it pretty closely. You could see it all over the place. It's kind of crazy. It's really a crazy story.
Bizarre is actually how it came out. Everyone was hyping it up as this bizarre thing.
Well, we should say what we're talking about, the death of wrestling superstar Chris Benoit,
right,
and his wife and his son.
Right.
All found dead in their home several days ago. And I guess what's the latest on that now?
The recent investigations, the autopsies have all pretty much been done. And from what people can gather, it was Chris Benoit that had murdered his wife, Nancy, and their 7-year-old son, Daniel, and then committed suicide. It all happened this past weekend. Details are kind of gruesome, actually. Apparently, Chris Benoit had strangled his wife. Not only strangled her, he had tied her arms and her legs together. The body was found with blood coming out of her head. There were bruises on her back and her front, which indicated that she might have been smothered on the floor, like squashed.
Right.
And she was wrapped in a blanket or a rug or a towel or something too, right? I thought I had heard.
That I didn't hear.
Okay.
But there was definitely foul play involved.
Oh, sure.
And apparently this had happened either Friday night, the 23rd, I believe that was.
Okay.
Or, no, the 22nd, or early Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And their son was found in his bedroom, or one of the bedrooms, also died of asphyxiation.
Right.
They say he was. Some reports say he was. He had a bag placed over his head, and that's how he died. People are saying that he was actually choked by Benoit physically.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't have anything confirming either of them. But then it's apparent that either late Sunday or early Monday morning, he had taken his own life by taking a power cord from one of his exercise equipment and formed a noose out of it and actually hung himself with it.
In the gym, right? In the gym, in his home?
In their home gym. Not only that, from what I gather, the bodies of both Nancy and Daniel were found with Bibles placed next to them.
I did read
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably one of the more bizarre things about it.
Wow.
It's a strange, just a strange turn of events. And I mean, people in the wrestling industry are probably confused. And
oh, sure.
I mean, how do you deal with someone who, for all intents and purposes, was highly respected, always well talked about? You know, no one ever said any bad things about him. But I'm sure a lot of stuff is going to come out now.
Oh, well, I bet.
Well, I already had heard, and I'm sorry not to cut in, but I already had heard, I guess, at one point in time, him and his wife were going through a divorce that was never finalized.
Right.
And she also had some sort of protective, I can't think
like
of the word.
Like a restraining order.
But it wasn't a restraining order, but it was something like that that got dismissed, right? Back in 2003, I think they were saying.
Yeah, they were only married for a few years when the marital problems occurred. And again, like you said, she had filed for some kind of legal action against him to protect her. But from what other people are saying, she had either dropped it of her own accord or he had possibly strong-armed her into dropping,
dropping it.
Either that or the divorce or what have you. But there are signs that there was some domestic abuse within the family. Another thing that might be adding to the story is that it's rumored that their son had something called Fragile X syndrome.
Okay.
Which is a rare form of mental retardation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get elongated facial features, I think. There's some form of autism involved. It's you know, basically mental retardation.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Yeah, and from what people are saying that, you know, they had known about it for a while. They didn't want anyone to really know about it.
Well,
so they were dealing with it. In fact, it's funny, too, but not funny, but Benoit was also found to have a link with a steroid company.
Right.
But he had prescription. He had a prescription for the steroids, and it's believed that they were actually for their son, because he was found with needle marks on his arm, and from what people are saying, they were injecting him with human growth hormone because they thought, because of the illness possibly, that he was undersized and wanted to overcome that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's heavy. Wow. More and more stuff is coming out every day, and it's just making it this huge, huge, bizarre deal.
Yeah, because I had read initially, I guess probably within the first day or so, or first couple hours, that they thought that it might be some sort of roid rage on Benoit's part, but then that kind of didn't play out with some of the other circumstances.
Right. I mean, the time of death for each victim, it doesn't really point to it. It seems more like, if not a premeditated act,
right,
than like, you know, a series of acts brought on by desperation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, if
weren't they even saying at one point that they had speculated that perhaps the wife had killed the son, and then Benoit, in a rage of finding this out, then killed the wife?
Yeah, I had actually read rumors like that, and all the evidence seems to point away from that. It does seem more or less that Benoit had the hand in everything. If steroids were the precursor to this, from what the medical experts have been saying, it was more the chronic use of them that slowly deteriorated his mind, possibly, you know, made him more paranoid, plus the fact of the domestic unrest, the fact that he had to deal with a son who was physically and mentally challenged. It probably just all snowballed at one point and just snap.
Well, as for the chronic use, I think I had heard or I had read somewhere that he had just tested clean in April.
Right.
So, I mean,
but with the wrestlers that are using them, they cycle through it. You know, there are periods where they you know, use it, and then there are periods where they're off.
Right. Okay.
So if they time it just right, you know,
they could test clean.
Right. And to tell you the truth, the Vince McMahon's policies of testing for drugs and all that, yeah,
shaky at best.
Yeah, I think it's more lip service than anything. I mean, if you look at some of the guys that are still wrestling, the huge ones like a Bobby Lashley or Chris Masters, I mean, they're inhumanely huge.
Yeah.
There's no way they're not, you know, using the steroids. So.
Well, I guess.
Do you think this will affect the legitimacy of those tests? I think Vince will start really getting on these guys now? Because really, I mean, can't you really, in some way, point the figure to the boys' problems, if you will? Maybe that links directly back to his father's steroid use. And, I mean, this, they're certainly describing this event as in some way related, even if it's a slow burn over time. I mean, seeing that and seeing one of his athletes or one of his performers or one of his performing athletes go through all of this, I mean, don't you think this has got to set off some sort of light in Vince?
I honestly don't think so. Well, not so much the whole steroids in and of itself. I mean, they're always going to use them. If they don't, I mean, you're going to end up with guys wrestling at 100, you know, at like 195 pounds.
Earthquake? Earthquake never used.
But yeah, okay. But, you know.
No point, but yeah.
You know, I don't see him doing half the stuff that these roided guys are, you know, capable of. I think it's more, I mean.
Like
this is,
moving, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the guys that died recently, too, isn't it?
A couple years back, yeah.
He
died, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I think he died of massive coronary, though, didn't he? It was
yeah,
all heart-related,
I'm sure it was
I'm
more
sure. Yeah.
General health-related.
Yeah.
But I think Vince really needs to step back and say, all right, I'm pushing these guys. They practically work 300 days a year.
Right.
You know, they get a little time off to spend with their families to readjust. But it's not a lot. I mean, considering what they put their bodies through with the travel, with the actual athleticism. And I think what he really needs to do is start giving these guys a little bit more time. Like, just cycle them off the circuit for a while. You know, bring new guys in to fill in. You know, more people get work. You know, guys get more time to heal injuries, reconnect with their families. You
right.
know, readjust, you know, stabilize themselves so they don't go crazy on the road. And I think if Vince takes more thought into doing that, I mean, something like this never would have happened.
Well,
maybe.
You know, I think that brings up a good point, because one of the things we don't talk about wrestling a whole lot on this show, but we do talk about it on occasion. Certainly outside of the realm of the show, we talk about it with each other. But I think one of the things that we always kind of talk about or bring up is the fact that, especially in recent history, Vince kind of focuses on a few select performers, and he doesn't allow new talent to really develop and get known. And Chris Benoit probably certainly would be in that top echelon of performers that you would see on a really regular basis. And I think really that what you said, it kind of all stems back to the direction that wrestling's been going in. In general, it needs to take a couple steps back and reevaluate how it's going to move forward. I agree with you 100%. I think they need to take the time to develop some other guys and give some time off to some of the top performers, and that probably would help avoid certain situations.
Well, hopefully, or maybe regrettably, a tragedy like this will in some way affect Vince's decision to reevaluate how he's working these performers and so on and so forth.
There is a flip side to it, though, and it would probably come from the performer side. I mean, these guys are paid per match, or, you know, wherever they are. If
right.
they show up for a WWE event, they're getting paid. And if they don't, they don't. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole contract.
Mechanics and
right. whatnot. But a lot of these guys will say, well, you know, don't take me off the road. I need to make money to support myself and my family. So there might be some opposition from a lot of them.
Right.
But, you know, I think the benefits of taking the time off will far outweigh the few hundred dollars they'll make at an appearance for a signature, for autograph session and whatnot.
Well, you know, I don't think we're talking about drastic amounts of time off. I mean, we're not talking about giving a guy 6 months off, but if you give him 30 days off even or 60 days
right.
even
6 weeks,
you know,
more than enough.
Yeah, it's enough time for them to have a little bit of downtime to kind of step away from everything. It's not like they're going to completely lose their skill or their physique in that amount of time. And certainly there's things that they can do in the downtime to kind of keep that stuff up.
Yeah, on the contrary, Triple H, when he hurt himself and he came back,
like
he
a
came
monster.
Back humongous.
But, I mean, just mentally, I think it would put a lot of performers, probably at first there would be some opposition, but I think it's like anything else. You know, you start kind of giving people a little time down and a little time off, and maybe at first there's a problem with it, but as you kind of fall into a cycle and you get maybe accustomed to the bit of relaxation, you kind of fall into a groove, and it's like anything else. And I think probably mentally it would benefit everybody.
Right.
Certainly.
You know, you recharge your batteries, and if you're dedicated enough, you keep in shape. You know, and more than anything, it keeps that whole mental side of you, you know, intact for the most part, because you're not always, you know, thinking, oh, am I going to get on TV this week if I show up? Am I, you know, going to get a top spot on the pay-per-view? Do I need to get bigger? Do I need to, you know?
Right. All of these concerns.
Yeah.
Right.
That, well, I think more than the steroid thing is it really needs to be evaluated. I know the media likes to jump on the steroid thing anytime a wrestler's name gets mentioned. And it does more often than not get blown out of proportion.
Well, I mean, aside from that controversy, which is really probably the biggest bit of controversy surrounding this, there's also a little bit of heat on Vince for how they reacted Monday night, right, and then the following night.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, all they really knew. I mean, I'm sure Vince at least knew some of the details about. Right.
Well, I think what we should do is we should say that they did not do their regular performance on Monday night Raw.
At Raw.
In fact, they did a 3-hour tribute to Chris Benoit that was started by Vince, who in the storyline is supposed to be dead himself.
Right.
They kind of shut that aside and did this big tribute to Chris Benoit. There were testimonials online, all within the first, 36 hours?
Pretty less much than that. I think it was...
Well, the point is that once things started to come out from the report, all of a sudden the testimonials disappeared from the website.
Well, here's the thing. The authorities, I don't think, found them until early Monday morning, or at least, you know, early afternoon.
Right.
So, you know, Vince had to cancel the show and then scramble for, you know, something. At least, you know, if it was just the death of a wrestler, especially someone of his stature, they had to do something to pay tribute.
Right, of course.
Since they had no idea, or at least didn't know
at the time,
all the aspects of the case. But now that everything's come out, like you said, they've pretty much disavowed him.
Right.
Disavowed Benoit from their history books, from their merchandising.
Yeah, the merchandising was yanked.
Yeah.
His DVD, I can't remember what his DVD is called.
Hard Knocks.
Right.
Yeah.
That's been gone. Right. I guess the T-shirts, what anything Chris Benoit has sort of been just sort of eliminated.
In fact, within a couple of hours of some of the news filtering out about the murder, some people were reporting that the WWE site was taking Chris Benoit's name out of every description of every DVD. Like, if he had a match with someone like Orlando Jordan on the pay-per-view, you'd only see Orlando Jordan's name. You know?
Yeah.
And I can imagine the kind of triage they're performing on everything. Video footage, you know, licensed products. I mean, I don't know how far they'll go. I mean, you can't just take whole matches out of an already existing DVD.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sure in the future, you know, if they do retrospectives of pay-per-views or whatever, I'm sure they'll conveniently take his stuff out.
And I guess what I'm about to say might be considered somewhat controversial, but whatever, it's my opinion. I think that the tribute, no matter what the circumstances surrounding the situation, was still fitting in a way. And I don't think that completely erasing him from the history books is appropriate for several reasons. At the very least, it's a learning lesson of what can happen if things go wrong. And obviously, we still don't have all the details, so there's a certain amount of lesson that still needs to be taught there. But
right.
But there's that. But also, whether or not, look, the incident was horrific, and it was terrible, and you know, shame on Chris Benoit, and say what you want, he's going to hell, and all that stuff, fine, but still.
You're a little harsh on the dead guy.
But you can't, no, but seriously, I don't think you can discredit his history and his career up to that point. Obviously, he had mental issues, and he had some sort of mental degradation that he went through, and he went through hard times and ended up doing something horrific and terrible. But that doesn't, I don't think that personally erases, I don't think that erases everything else.
Yeah, I don't understand
know.
A little bit. If it would be different if there were stories for years about Benoit being this real jerk backstage,
right,
of him taking liberties.
Exactly.
And, you know, just being not a nice guy. And from what everyone's been saying, you know, either he's been quiet or, you know, kind of not distance, but he's never shown anybody anything but respect as
right.
long as it was
right.
earned. So, I mean, some people are saying that maybe he took this business too seriously and it kind of permeated everything about him. Some people are starting to come out with him being a little, not arrogant, but a little self-absorbed or to the point where, you know, wrestling is it, and, you know, you can't separate the wrestler from the man. I mean, a lot of these things were said about Bret Hart at a time.
Right.
You know? So, I don't, it's a tough call. I mean, part of me will always feel that Benoit was, he was a great performer. And
sure.
I can separate him
from the incident.
Right. But at the same time, something like this, it's tough to swallow, you know, especially if, I can't imagine what the guys that actually knew him must be going through.
Right. Well, I think it's still kind of early on in the story, and I think we're going to have a lot more development that comes out in the coming weeks. At the very least, the toxicology reports still have to come back, so that'll explain whether or not Benoit was actually on something or may not. Right. I mean, if he was on a down period. But I think as the story develops, maybe it's something we can revisit. And as wrestling moves forward, we can kind of talk about the waves that go through the industry, and certainly we'll have you back on the show to talk about that stuff. But
we should say also that we mentioned at the outset of this that we were actually gonna talk about another tragedy that happened,
sure,
and it was a little closer to home to us a little.
Sure.
This past Toy Fair at the Jack's Pacific party or reception,
right,
if you will, they had several guests, Lou Albano, Smokin' Joe Frazier,
mm-hmm,
and Scary Sherry, or the
Sensational
Sherry, or whatever name.
Sherry Martel.
And as I found out as we were coming back from the break into this segment, that she's just passed away herself.
She has.
Yep, she passed away, if not last week, then, you know, possibly the week before. I can't really remember because, I mean, this story is so big. But, yeah, and the fact that it happened while this whole Vince McMahon is dead thing storyline came out, it just kind of, for some people, it raised a flag saying, all right, Vince, you know, something like this is happening just after you did this whole retrospective of your own demise.
Right.
You know, take it as a sign, and then for this tragedy to have occurred, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's a scant, awful timing.
Yeah, it's a scant 4 months ago, too, and she didn't look sick to me not one bit. Apparently, you said, BAC, that it was the big cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cancer.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly what specific cancer, but...
Quick.
Yeah.
I
think she was either 50 or in her late 40s.
Yeah, she was young. I know she was young. It's... I mean, really, like I said... as far as hitting close to home, I mean, having sat some
3 feet
from her and actually getting the chance to talk to her
and listening to her stories and so on.
I mean, it's kind of shocking. And I know when it first happened, Jeremy was looking for some photos from Toy Fair, and luckily we had some floating around our archive that I was able to send over to him. So I hope you got those, Jeremy, and I hope they served their purpose for you, but that's really terrible.
Unfortunately, bad mother Canucker, we had to have you on under these circumstances. But we, of course, will have the bad mother Canucker back in, let's give it a couple of weeks and see how they kind of recover storyline-wise. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get the bad mother Canucker in here before SummerSlam,
is
the next major pay-per-view from WWE. Is that right?
Yes.
And when is that? August?
That's August.
So
one Sunday in August.
Well, I'd like to see how they work Vince back in after the smoke kind of settles and the dust kind of clears.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
If he's just going to be back.
Right.
I'm sure
I'm sure we can at that time, the previewing SummerSlam, we can discuss that as well. So
sure.
There he is, the bad mother Canucker. Thanks for coming in, BAC.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And of
always,
course,
sir.
Under better circumstances next time. And we'll be right back with either our second special guest or the wrap-up. I guess you'll know once we get there.
Hello, dear listener. Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Let's do time warp again. Hi, hello. This is Patricia Quinn from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention, well secluded.
And we're back with episode 63, Too Fucking Hot. That's right. I'm upgrading us from darn to fucking.
It's too darn hot again.
Too fucking hot forever.
And it looks like, if I'm hearing that music correctly, that is the wrap-up music.
That is the wrap-up music. So maybe we should explain what happened.
Our special guest number two, Mr. Fantastic, not calling in the show tonight.
No, what happened was we took a little break. We called him up. And when the phone picked up, there was a lot of noise in the background. And then a drunken, slurring Fantastic, you know, got on. What the fuck, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of cursing and slurred expletives.
He did sound cool, though, like temperature-wise.
Well, you know, I'm guessing he's down the shore. He's got, like, you know, chilling, relaxing,
and shirtless,
and we're here. Maybe he'll come back with a mohawk again.
I doubt it.
That would be fun.
You think he'll get that drunk?
Well,
based
on that phone call, he's past that point.
I guess
he's
you're
past
right.
Shitty at this point.
Well, I guess it's maybe it'll be episode 64, The Mystery of Fantastic.
Yeah, that's it. We'll get him back in the studio. He could pass out in the chair. You know, like he does. And it'll be fun.
Right? What did we talk about today?
We talked about a lot today. But I'm going to try to make it quick since it's too darn hot again. R2KT, the astromech droid for pediatric cancer. That's right.
The pink one.
The pink one. All the money goes to a good cause. You should check out that website. It's r2kt.com.
Mezco will be joining everybody at San Diego Comic-Con this year, and they will feature great exclusives, including comic book Abe Sapien from Hellboy, Living Dead Dolls, a four-pack of characters that have been previously laid to rest. They'll be redecoed, I guess, repaints. An Underdog two-pack featuring Underdog and Simon Bar Sinister. The Goonies Copper Bones, a prop replica from the movie Goonies.
Yippee!
And, of course, Butters from South Park as his alter ego, Professor Chaos.
Without General Disarray.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. That. A little disappointed. Sam Raimi, maybe he doesn't do a Spider-Man 4, but if he does do it, he wants to use the Sinister Six.
Retard.
Jon Favreau will be using Samuel L. Jackson in the role of Nick Fury in the upcoming Iron Man film.
And in the upcoming Magneto film, David Goyer, who helmed the Invisible and Blade Trinity, will tell us the story of a young Auschwitz inmate, Magneto, and how he survives that, and how he, furthermore, besides surviving, he also gets back his captors, I guess, later in life.
Harrison Ford looks good in the fedora, but we don't see the whip. The Joker Mobile, pink or purple jalopy, and Spike Jones will be directing Where the Wild Things Are.
X-Men issue 200, that is X-Men, not Uncanny X-Men, with art by Ramos and Bacciallo, has three different covers, one by Ramos, one by Bacciallo, and a four fold-out gate cover by superstar artist, upcoming killer artist David Finch.
24 could be breaking presidential barriers again in 2008 with the rumor that the next president on the show will be a female. And in a second segment, Geek Stuff got a little serious. We took a step back when we talked about something that's tragic and important to sports entertainment, and that would be the horrific circumstances surrounding the murder-suicide of Chris Benoit and his wife and 7-year-old son.
It's a very tragic and unfortunate story.
It is. And you know, we had the Bad Mother Knucker here with us. Speaking of which, Bad Mother Knucker is BMC.
Yeah, I know.
BMC,
I don't.
Not BAC.
It's the heat. It's the BAC heat. Is the heat.
So, but we will have the Knucker back in the studio with us to talk about how this affects the industry going forward. So maybe in a couple weeks.
And also we'll how it's going to affect these storylines.
Sure.
Already it seems that they've abandoned the Mr. McMahon storyline. We'll have the Bad Mother Knucker back probably the week before SummerSlam in August. And he can update us on all of the goings on in those worlds.
Sweet. Outside of that, next week, something you can look forward to. Mike Oeming on the show.
Should we preview Mike Oeming on the show?
I think so. It's pretty. I'm pretty jazzed about having him on the
show.
I'm
pretty jazzed about having him, too. I'm just hoping Fantastic gets back here and figures all it out.
Look, if he doesn't, we'll figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
We can do that stuff without him.
Right. I can't tie my shoes without him.
Yeah, I know.
Honey. All right, wait. I can do that.
Don't forget.
That ain't funny.
Don't forget, you can check us out online at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com or at myspace.com/bigkevsgeekstuff. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. And
drop us
an email.
We still doing the YouTube thing, too?
We are still doing the YouTube thing, although I'm having terrible difficulties with the last two episodes. I don't know. Something between YouTube and QuickTime. Something's not working right.
Oh, boy.
I blame the bottle. Because if Fantastic were helping me.
That's right.
Bastard.
You know, I think... Maybe it's episode 64, The Intervention.
I think so.
Maybe that's the way to go.
It might have to be.
Okay, so that's it.
That's it?
The end of the episode.
We're done.
Fantastic, do you... Oh, that's right. He's not here.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Olé! Yeah!
You're hot. He's hot. She's hot. I'm hot. You're hot. He's hot. She's hot.